Last Sunday evening, I got home and had a chance to relax. So I kicked my feet up and put a pillow under my head and got the channel changer and started surfing the TV. And I came across a world-class boxing match. So I was watching a little bit, and the more I watched, the more interesting it became. I watched these two guys, Jose Ramirez and Jose Zepeda, fighting, and they went on and on and on, and it seemed like it was fairly evenly matched, and I'm watching, and I'm waiting for someone to drop, and it goes on, and it goes on to the 10th round, and 11th round, and 12th round, and still I'm not sure who the winner is. And then at the end of the fight, in great suspense, everybody's kind of wondering, I'm sure. And finally, the undefeated Jose Ramirez won the battle and won the fight. So I'm curious this morning, how many of you like to watch a good boxing match every now and then? How many of you do not? Ooh, there's a lot more who do not than do. And I want to tell you, I enjoy a good boxing match, professional match like this every now and then. I'll tell you someone else who I believe does as well. And that is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul traveled around the Roman world, and during the time he traveled, there was the Olympics that was held in various places, and one of the Olympic outlet events was in Corinth. Paul spent a lot of time in Corinth, and so these events that were going on, and as they were going on, there were three major events in the ancient Olympics. And those three were running, wrestling, boxing. So they've been around for a long time. And so Paul draws from this analogy and uses it to challenge and explain how the Christian life functions and operates. So I've asked Tom to come and read this portion of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And as you do, just kind of listen to the image that Paul uses. He describes the first century church.
Reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting at verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I don't run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No. I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize.
Thank you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for the Apostle Paul and your instrument, and you inspired him to give us these words. And I pray, Father, that we will see that this Christian race, this Christian event that we're in, is very serious. And Lord, help us to see that you want us to train and to work as hard as somebody who is entering the Olympics. Because, in fact, what we're training for, what we're running for, what we're fighting for is even greater than the reward that would be given at the World Olympics. So teach us these things by your Holy Spirit this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's draw some parallels here between a professional boxing match and the Christian faith. I think you might be surprised that there are many. And the first one is, and listen carefully, please. Once you choose Christ as your Savior, and once you choose that you're going to be a Christian, and you put your faith in Christ, at that moment, you step into a boxing ring. That's what happens. Now, we know we talk about Christianity in many ways. We talk about it as a big family, and it is, and that's wonderful, and we love it. We talk about it, we're priests, we're kings. We talk about it in all kinds of images, but one thing we must talk about the Christian life is it is a life that is a spiritual battle that is a serious fight. This is the metaphor that Paul uses. The minute we become a Christian, we step into the ring with Satan. We've got an immortal battle and fight on our hands. To be ignorant of this is to be very naive of the Christian life. And many people have, and frankly, been driven away or fallen away because it wasn't this nice, sweet dance that they were expecting. But they began to realize that as soon as they became a Christian, things maybe didn't go better before they got worse. The Bible is very, very clear on this. I want you to think about the creation account. You have Adam and Eve, they're created in chapter 1 and chapter 2. And the next thing you know, in chapter 3, Satan is on the scene. Immediately, he's on the scene, and he's trying to find a way to get him to fall, trying to find a way to defeat them. The next chapter, you have their children in the picture. And God says to Cain in chapter 4, verse 7, Cain, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, and you must master it. And so you can see that there is this thing, sin, it's there. It's kind of hanging over, ready to pounce into his life and bring destruction, which in fact it did. You might remember the baptism of Jesus. Just as soon as he was baptized, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness, and all of a sudden, face to face with Satan himself. You might remember that Peter made this great pronouncement that Jesus is the Savior, the Son of God. First time it was proclaimed in the New Testament. And when he did, all of a sudden, Jesus said to him, you know, Peter, Satan wants to sift you as wheat. And Jesus went on to say, this very night, Peter, this night that you made that profession, this night that you, it was crystal clear on you that I am the Messiah, this night, Peter, through the wiles of the devil, you will deny me three times. And then later, Peter writes in his life these words, be alert, be of sober mind, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So I want to say it. The minute you commit your life to Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you enter the fighting ring with Satan. Now, that being the case, you better immediately throw up your guard because you're fighting the heavyweight champion of the world. That's who you're fighting. That's who you're up against. Now you sit here in a minute and you think about that, like, whoa. Give me the new beginning lightweight. Don't give me the heavyweight champion of the world, but that's who you're up against. You're up against Satan himself. Become a Christian, no matter how old you are, no matter how naive you might be, once you step into that ring, you're stepping in that ring with Satan. The Bible tells us Satan is the god of this age. The Bible tells us he is the god of this world, the prince of this age. That's who we're fighting. And he's smarter than we are, and he's stronger than we are, and he's wiser than we are, and he's faster than we are. And so when we get into the ring, we better put up our guard and begin to protect ourselves against him. Now, one of the things I noticed about the fight that I watched last Saturday night is Ramirez, the winner, he came out on the ring like this. He had an arm here and he had an arm here, and you could barely see his eyes. And he had terrific guard, and he kept it up, and he never dropped it once. I don't recall him ever dropping it once. Through 12 rounds, he kept his guard up. And because of that, obviously, he got hit less than the other guy. The other guy began to drop his guard, and Ramirez was able to strike against him. So he's got this guard up, and he's constantly in guard against the enemy. And the opposition in the Bible tells us that Satan has these fiery darts, and he's going to throw them at you, and he's going to throw them and heave them or shoot them, and he wants his fiery darts to hit you and to get in your skin and to get underneath your skin and be able to drop you to your knees. That's what Ephesians chapter 6 says. He shoots fiery darts, and he's hoping to defeat us with these fiery darts. What are the fiery darts? Well, the book of Revelation tells us he is the accuser of the brethren. He is accusing us day in and day out, all night long. We see this in the Old Testament, Zechariah. The priest comes before the Lord, and Satan appears and starts throwing all these accusations about the priest. And you see this in the book of Job. The Bible describes Job as the holiest guy in all the East, and all of a sudden, Satan is before God, accusing Job of being insincere in his devotion to God Almighty. And this is the accusation that Satan will bring against you. He will say, you're not worthy of it. You don't deserve it. You're not good enough. If you are a Christian, then why do you slip and why do you fall? Why isn't your mind more about the things of God? And on, he's going to beat you with accusations day in and day out, the Bible says. And if you listen to him, you will fall. And the Bible tells us we need to raise up a shield of faith against him. And the shield of faith is when we stand on what God's Word says. And what God's Word says is that we are righteous in Christ. The Bible says all of our sins are forgiven in Christ. The Bible says if we're in Christ, we're a new creation. The Bible says Christ took our sin that we might take his righteousness. And Satan knows all of this. Satan knows that if you're a Christian this morning, God looks at you through Christ, through his blood, through his righteousness. And God is looking at you this morning righteous, without sin. That's how God looks at us. And because of that, we should be able to walk boldly into the presence of God with great confidence. But Satan fires his accusations. He says, no, not you. If you're a sinner, then how come you sinned? If you're righteous, then how come you thought those things? And more than one Christian has been paralyzed by Satan, is just pummeled by Satan, because we stand there without putting up our guard. And he fires these accusations, and instead of lifting up the shield of faith, we listen to him, and we believe his lies. And I'm telling you, many, many Christians are defeated because of the accusations of the evil one coming day in and day out. You're unworthy. You're not worthy of this. You're no good. You don't deserve it. You can't be forgiven. You slipped. God's not going to forgive you. You're insincere, and on and on and on. And your only defense against him is raise up the shield of faith and say, in fact, here's the way I do it. When Satan comes to me with his accusations, and he does, not as much now as he used to, and when he comes, I say this. This is my strategy. I say, Satan, it's worse than you realize. See, I know me. It's worse than you realize, Satan, but it's under the blood. And so be gone. And just like that, he's gone. That's all you have to do. It's under the blood. When you bring that before him, and when you declare your righteousness is in Jesus Christ, he flees and he's gone. So when you get in the ring, which you do the moment you get saved, you better throw up your guard, and it better be the shield of faith saying, I'm under the blood of Jesus Christ. Can somebody say amen? God sees you righteous. Now, when we get in the ring and begin to realize our opponent, let me tell you something. You better get yourself in shape just about as fast as you can. You're going to be whipped. You better get yourself in shape. You better get yourself in training, because you are now in this for the long run. Getting yourself in shape and getting yourself in training means that you study and become a disciple of God, and you read the Word of God, and you study the Word of God, and you go to church to learn the Word of God, you go to Sunday school class to learn the Word of God, to be taught the Word of God, you meditate on it, because this is our defense, and this is our training, and this is what we train by. We train by the Word of God so that we may know how to take every thought and every captive and make it obedience to Jesus Christ, and we only learn that through the Word. And we study the Word so that we can not just drink milk and remain babies our life, so we can take meat and take the Word of God and take it in and digest it, become strong in the Lord. So we must train ourselves immediately. And I'll tell you this. Let me make this very plain. If you're not a disciple of Jesus Christ, you will be defeated by Satan. I'm certain of it. And you know people who are casualties to the faith and are defeated by the faith. And the only reason is because they're not a disciple. They're not training in the Word of God. And it's our hope, and it's our training, and it's our strength. So we need to train ourselves in the Word of God, and we need to get ourselves disciplined in the Word of God, and we need to become disciples of Christ, and then we will be in shape for whatever Satan throws at us. And he won't beguile us anymore because we're learning the Word of God. We're learning the truth. We're learning how he operates. We're learning his ways through being discipled in the Word of God. Then, in this ring, in this fight, in this boxing match, we better be nimble, we better be quick on our feet. And somebody whose feet are planted like cement and in lead are going to become a punching bag of the evil one. Muhammad Ali showed us this a lot of years ago about how to be quick and nimble and maneuver in the ring. Because we're fighting a very subtle enemy. You better be wise. You better be flexible. You better be able to move, or you're going to become a punching bag. Now, what do I mean by this? What I mean by this is, last year, 2018, I went with one of these mission trips with Tom. I went to Jordan. Tom just kept saying to me the same thing he'd been saying to Kay: be flexible, be flexible, be flexible. Don't be too rigid in your ways. You know, don't be inflexible. Be flexible. And I found that to be very true, because things are very different over there. Things aren't the same in one culture or another, are they? Things are not the same in the 21st century as they were the 20th century. Things were not the same in the 20th century as they were in the 19th century. If you don't know how to move with the moving of the Holy Spirit of God, if you're rigid and fixed in your ways and cannot move, you will be defeated by the evil one. Now, Jesus made this clear when he came to see the Pharisees in the first century, and here are the words that he spoke. He said, "No one can pour new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skin, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined." No. They pour new wine into new wineskins. The new wine Jesus was talking about was himself. He was the new wine. The new wine that Jesus was talking about was the Holy Spirit, about to be poured out on the church. He was the new wine. The new wine was the day of grace, when we approach one another in love and mercy and grace. The new wine was non-judgmentalism, not trying to tear down people and judge them, but offer them grace and mercy. The old wine skins that Jesus was bringing these things into that were inflexible with the Sadducees and the Pharisees, their legalism, the Old Testament law, and they were bound so much so even to the tradition that they were unbudging. It was their judgmental attitude. They couldn't possibly imagine that these sinners could be as holy and righteous as them. Their proud and arrogant ways and looking down on other people, thinking it's a matter of accumulation, their tradition that they wouldn't let go. And consequently, when the new wine came, the old wineskins burst and fell into the ground and were ruined. And God Almighty had to make a new wineskin. And that new wineskin was the New Testament Gentile church. I want to say to you, you better be flexible and listen to the moving of the Holy Spirit. And even if you've inherited something in your life that's so good, you want to be careful about becoming rigid to the structure, that when the Holy Spirit begins to move, you miss him because you're holding on to something that was destined to pass. Let me give you a few examples of the kind of changes that the Holy Spirit has brought in all of our generation. New Bible translations. There was a day where it was just as one, and this is one. And you can have that one if you want. But if you say no other ones are inspired, you're holding on to the structure. And you're going to miss the outpouring of the new wine. Contemporary music. Contemporary music in the last 30 or 40 years has been phenomenal. The explosion and how God has used this. Now, it's not saying the older hymns weren't good. It's saying they weren't the only thing. And if we say we can only do that and God can't be using the new music that's out, that's holding to an inflexible structure to the point like the Pharisees is going to break and it's going to all pour out on the ground, the Holy Spirit. Multitudes of Christian radio stations today, all over, all kinds of programming is going on, phenomenal stuff, just flooding everything as God is outpouring out His Holy Spirit. There was a time, and some of you may experience this, it was okay in the time, and we would never under any circumstance ever, and if this is your vow, there's nothing wrong with it. So I could never go to a movie because the movie house has secular movies and secular music. Movies, I can't support it, so I can't fund this so they can make money so they can do more secular music. Now, if you don't want to go to the movie theater, I don't care. But to say that God Almighty is not moving in Christian films that are being produced by amazing Christian people, you're missing what the Holy Spirit is doing these days. And Christian health care ministry is just the Holy Spirit is doing so many new and great things in the day in which we live. And I'm not saying you got to love all these things. I'm saying you got to recognize that the Holy Spirit didn't only work 400 years ago and stop. He is desiring to work fresh and new, and we must not hold on to these. We must be flexible or we are going to get out of step with the Holy Spirit of God. And the wineskin is going to burst and it's going to fall to the ground. So we need to be flexible. We need to move. We need to be adaptable to what God is doing. Never, 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 never changing the gospel. But the form in which it takes shape, many shapes, many different shapes. Now, number five, in this eternal, immortal boxing match that we are in, against the enemy of our soul, we need to learn to take a punch. That's right. I will say it again. We need to learn to take a punch. No boxer ever has been successful for very long who has not learned how to take a punch. So, I'm watching this boxing match. And so I'm waiting to see you. And so he says, Ramirez wins. And so you look at Mira, and the camera goes up onto Jose Ramirez's face. There's cuts. There's blood. There's bruises already shaping. And they put the camera on his face, and he goes like this. He's filled with ecstatic joy that he won the fight. And these little cuts and these little bruises were of no deterrent or distraction to him. He really didn't care because that which he won was far greater than the cost that he had to pay. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, I consider that these present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Listen, Christian friends. Satan is going to throw jabs at you, and every once in a while, they're going to hit. And every once in a while, they're going to bruise. And every once in a while, they're going to draw blood. Now, you can be a baby if you want and do self-pity. And, oh, me, I'm so nice to everybody. I don't know why anybody wouldn't just love me. And I don't know why things aren't going well. The answer is because Satan is pulling all these strings, doing everything he can to do everything he can to attack you, to discourage you in every way that he can. And if you can't take a punch, You don't realize that this is just some of the things that happen when you're living. Jesus said no one is going to live righteously without experiencing persecution because the devil's in control of this world. You just got to accept it. You just got to deal with it. And we can't cry and lick our wounds all the time and be filled with self-pity so we're useless and deflated. If we suffer with him, the Bible says, we also will reign with him. 2 Timothy 2:12. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap a reward if we faint not. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. And those who go out weeping, carrying precious seed with him, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. So learn to take a punch. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get insulted. You're going to get betrayed. Somebody's going to be unkind. Somebody that you least suspect. Somebody's going to insult you. Yeah, it's true. Grow up. Just deal with it. Because it's inevitable. When Jesus raised out his arms and you raise out your arm to love people, there's going to be one in there that's going to take a sword and stick it right in your side. You got the choice. Well, I'm never going to love again. That's never going to happen to me again. Or throw your arms open wide. And when you do, the day will come that you'll be stabbed again. And just keep, you know, let the Lord's balm of Gilead heal you and then open your arms and keep loving people. That's what it means to live the Christian life. Number six, and there's only seven. Not only must we learn how to take a punch, we must learn how to throw a punch. And this is where I lose a lot of you. No, Pastor, you like fighting. Did you not see me say, I don't like fighting? Now, you might want to try it, but I don't want to try it. Give me a different sport. Give me swimming. You know, give me something else. Give me shuffleboard. But I'm really not that kind. I don't like violence. I don't like hitting people. I don't like wounding people. I don't like that. I'm kind of a pacifist. If you're a pacifist, this is what will happen. Satan will pulverize you. There is no fighter anywhere who ever fought a fight and won a fight without throwing a punch, right? I mean, it doesn't make sense. I mean, you can guard, you can protect, you can stand there, and you can endure, but you cannot drive back the opponent unless you throw a punch. You can't. You cannot defeat him if you don't swing at him. You've got to throw a punch or you cannot win this battle. And so you want to know what this means, and I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you what this is. You have to take the word of God that you've been developing, and you have to bring it up. You have to stand up for truth. You have to say, no, that's wrong. We can't do that here. We won't do that here. You have to be willing to take the word of God and say, Jesus is the way of salvation. Jesus can help you. You have to take the word of God and put it into practice. Now, the Bible says the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Now, did you ever think of this? And some of you have heard this before. There are six parts of the armor of God in Revelation chapter 6. You can read this when you go. Six pieces of armor. Five are defensive. One is offensive. The offensive is the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. Hebrews tells us the sword is a double-edged sword, sharp as a razor. And it is our job to lift it out and swing it. Because lest you swing it, you'll never cut anyone loose from Satan. You've got to take the word of God. You've got to use it. You've got to apply it in life and circumstance at work and your wherever you are. You've got to swing it. If you want to defeat the enemy, you've got to swing the word of God. You've got to use the word of God as Jesus did when he was in the wilderness. He took the word of God and he confronted the devil and he said, no, that's not true. This is the truth. We want to live in a day in which everybody can believe what they want to. That's not going to get them to heaven. Jesus is going to get them to heaven. And we need to stand up and say, this is the way. In fact, let me emphasize this. If you're sitting here and you say, well, I don't do much swinging of the sword, I'm telling you, you will not go forward spiritually. You cannot unless you swing a punch or swing the sword. And if you don't, then Satan is going to win. And if he wins, he's going to take those things which are precious to you, because that's what he comes to do. Steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he comes to do. Listen to how important this is. These are not my words. These are the words of Scripture. And it says this, Jeremiah 48:10. Now keep in your mind the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the double-edged sword. This is what we're to swing to drive the enemy back and say, no, we refuse that. This is the truth. And every time you do that, the enemy steps back. So here's what Jeremiah chapter 48:10 says. One of my favorite verses in Scripture. A curse on anyone who is lax in doing the Lord's work. People are dying and people are going to hell, and we have the only truth, and if we don't do it, they die and they'll go to hell. So a curse on him, says Scripture, who is lax in doing the Lord's work. I just don't have time. I don't have time to do the Christian thing. I don't have time to give my gifts to the Lord. I don't have time to serve. I don't have time to do these things. A curse, says Scripture, Jeremiah 48:10, a curse on anyone who is lax in doing the Lord's work. This is the rest of the verse. A curse on anyone who keeps his sword from bloodshed. You know, a sword doesn't do any good if it lays on the shelf. A sword doesn't do any good if it kind of sparkles there on the dining room table and it lays there and people look at that. It only works when we swing it. Unless we swing it, we will not drive the enemy back. If we do not drive the enemy back, then he will defeat us and he will take our families and all, because that's his job. And he's got no mercy. And the only thing to defeat him is the Word of God to drive him back. Finally, number 7 is perseverance. Perseverance. I'll tell you the truth. This is how the battle was won. The fight was won on TV last week. This national fight. Here's how it was won. They go 7 rounds, 8, 9, 10. And one of the fighters is getting tired. And his guard's dropping, and the other pam, 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 and the winner is coming on stronger and stronger, and starts driving him into the ropes in 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12 towards the end, while the other fighter is getting tired and his defense is dropping and he's just getting pounded. And really, what won it was conditioning. What won it was someone who endured to the end. That's what won the fight. And unless we endure to the end, we will lose the fight. And whatever you've been trusting God for, whatever you've been fighting God for, whatever you've been praying for, stay with it. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Don't give in, or the enemy will win. And one of the favorite passages that I have in the Bible that speaks about this is the story of the widow in Luke 18. And here's a widow, and Jesus said, let me tell you what it means to pray and persist. Here's what it means to pray and persist. Don't give up. Don't get weary, he says in Luke 18, verse 1. Don't get weary in praying. Don't get tired. Don't give up. And he says, let me tell you a parable. And he tells a parable of an unjust judge who doesn't love God and anybody. And so this poor widow comes to him requesting justice. Judge says, get away from me. I don't care about you. I don't care about God. I don't care what people say. Get away from me. But she doesn't. She comes back and she comes back and she comes back. And this is a picture of prayer. And she comes back and she comes back. And the judge says, I got to get her out of my hair. You can have what you want. Take it and get out of here. And God said, if an unjust judge will give a poor widow that he doesn't care about justice, what will God Almighty give those who love him, who come persistently and pray and ask him? He says, I'll tell you what I will give them. Luke 18, I will give them justice, and I will do it quickly. The The difference between what you're asking for and what you're trusting God for, what you'd like to see, and His fulfillment is consistent and continual and persistent prayer. I'm telling you, it's the only thing that's holding it back. We've got to pray and we've got to pray. I can't think of how many prayers were not answered because we gave up. We gave up. We got tired. We got weary. We gave up. The Bible says persist and pray and don't give up and keep at it. And as you keep at it, Scripture says, and you will get justice and quickly. Just keep praying persistently and do not give up. Pray day and night, and God will reward and give what His will is for your life, which is, by the way, good, perfect, and pleasing. So how do you view Christianity? Is it a waltz? Is it an orchestra playing and everything is fine and singing and dancing and love and fellowship, and all those things are good and they're all part of Christianity? But Christianity is a fight. Anybody want to say amen? You've experienced it. Some of you have shed blood for it. You know, you're trying to do good and things, people attack and the devil is orchestrating things to try to discourage you and bring you down and defeat you. And we must remember that it is these other things, but it is a fight, and we cannot forget that. And the only way to win, the only way to succeed, the only way to go forward as a Christian is to hold up your guard, to get yourself in good spiritual training, to be quick and nimble and sensitive to what God, Holy Spirit, is doing, and not be rigid and inflexible in your ways, to learn to take a punch, because we're going to get a punch. He's going to get one in there somehow, one day or another, or often. Learn to give a punch and endure to the end. For he who endures to the end, Scripture says, will be saved. So the fight was over last Sunday night, and Jose Ramirez won the fight. And his record was, and is, 24-0. That means he has not lost. And I'm telling you, this is what God wants for you. I didn't say you weren't going to get a punch. I didn't say Satan's not going to get a claw and draw a little blood. I said you're going to win every battle. Every battle you're in, every event God calls you to, everywhere God leads you by His Holy Spirit, if you persist and do these things and follow these guidelines, you will win. To the glory of God, you will win. There is no competition. Do you think there's a competition between God and Satan? There's none. And we're in the middle. And our job is to implement the things of God and stay with it. And God will get the victory. And that's what He wants in your life and mine. So I want to ask you in closing, so what's your view of Christianity? Are you surprised when you get attacked? Are you surprised when you get insulted? Are you surprised when not everybody is jovial because of your faith in Christ? This is what it means to be a Christian. You're not going to make it unless you stand firm and say, okay, I understand it. I'm going to be tough. I'm going to go forward. That's what it means to be a Christian. Maybe you say, well, I've known that, Pastor. You haven't told me a thing I haven't known today. But I am weary. I am weary. I'm weary from the fight. I'm weary from the prayers. And I've tried and I've asked and I've talked, and it's been year and year out and year, and I've not seen it happen. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And waiting is prayer. And I want to encourage you today to make sure you understand we have an enemy that's out to destroy us. He is Satan, and the moment you commit your life to Christ is the moment you are in the ring with the heavyweight world champion, the heavyweight champion of the world. But through Christ, you will defeat him in the name of Christ. And when you get tired, weary, you've got to go back to prayer and say, Lord, renew me and refill me. And that's how I want to close tonight, giving you an opportunity to make sure you're in the true Christian faith, because it's a fight. If you're in it and you're weary, ask the Lord to renew you today, and He'll do that. Let's pray. Lord, this morning, I pray that if we're here and we're surprised that the Christian life is a fight. We don't like fighting. We don't like to watch it. We don't like to see people get knocked down, but Satan's doing it every day. Lord, in the last 3 days, I've talked with people who best friend was killed through drug overdose. Whose daughter wants to become a witch. And another one who is in prison. Lord, don't tell me this isn't a fight. This is a fight. And Satan is ruthless. And he's out to destroy us and our families. And he will if we do not fight. I pray, Lord, this day, for we'll take the Word of God. We'll take it in. We'll study it, learn it. We'll know the principles. We'll live them out, and we'll stand strong. We'll pray. We'll persist. We will not give up. We will not give in. We will not say no to what is right and what is good. We will stand on the truth of the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, as we do this, Your Holy Spirit will empower us. We'll see the enemy fall. We'll see him step back. We'll see him stumble. We'll see him pull away and flee at the name of the mere name of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, we'll see the captives set free. That's what You called us to do. Set the captives free. They're in our homes. They live beside us. They're our neighbors. They're our extended family. You've called us to set them free. And we'll only set them free if we do the fight. And I pray, Lord, today that we will choose to toughen up and to fight and to endure and to fight this fight and to run this race like we're running in an Olympic event. Because, Lord, that which we're fighting for is greater than any trophy this world has to offer. Cause us, Lord, cause us today to run and to fight and to train like we're in an Olympic event. Father, do Your work in every one of our hearts today as is appropriate. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.